is the academic planning committee budget reduction hearing. And our first order of business is the hearing on the proposal for elimination of state support for the Lund Center for Asian Culture. And Barbara Banks is our first witness. Please, go ahead.
Good afternoon, and thank you for this opportunity to share my concerns. The Lund Center for Asian Culture is the only institution in Nebraska dedicated solely to Asian art and culture. People from elsewhere that I tell about my job and the museum are very impressed that we have a separate museum just for this purpose. This is the only place in state that people from Lincoln and Nebraska can come to see such a dedicated facility. We have strong collections in Chinese, Japanese, Himalayan art, and musical instruments. Donald Lentz, a musician and longtime leader of the marching band, and Velma Lentz, his wife, a pianist, became interested in Asian music, and they made 10 long and very arduous trips to Asia, which Velma recorded in minute detail. This was the beginning of their collection of Asian art. The story of the Lentzes is so individual. Their zeal, their determination, their bravery, and their adventurous spirits are still inspirational today. We have increased their collection fourfold. I'm happy that the university has decided to keep the collection in place, and I know that the security and climactic conditions will be appropriately maintained. What concerns me is that there will not be any Asia-trained staff to develop the collection and show it to advantage. Many donors have placed trust in us to care for their personal treasures. Without a staff that shares their interests and indeed helps develop their interests, gifts will diminish. In addition to displaying our own collection, we have brought in exhibitions from other venues, such as the Smithsonian. Following up on the Lentz's interest in Himalayan art, we have brought in the Tibetan monks four times to make sand paintings and to chant, and we have had over 2,000 people at just one of these events. In 2004, we won the Event of the Year prize given by the Lincoln Arts Council for a three-part program of sand painting, sacred music, and dance, and an exhibition of our Tibetan collection. Our last visit by the monks was part of the university's year of emphasis on China and was mostly attended by students 900 strong. Faculty used the gallery for class projects, and we've had recent visits by groups from music, architecture, history, and religion. And since we now have a professor of Buddhism, the use of the gallery has increased. Groups of students from Chinese language and from the Confucius Institute have also been visitors, as have people from the Nebraska Wesleyan and Nelson Gallery. The center is becoming well known and is poised in a position that it will be able to grow. Without a staff, this opportunity will be lost. But this is not only about staffing, as important as that is. This is about the dream of two fascinating donors to bring diversity to Nebraska before it became fashionable. And
are there any questions for Dr. Banks?
I just wondered if I understand this correct, that the facility will still maintain the collection, but there will only be rare occasions in which it will be observed. I mean, special as rare occasions when the collection will be open for people to see.
That's true. Yes.
Yeah. What would determine when such an event occurs?
Well, I think a faculty member or some other individual of that status would have to request it. Or possibly a show could come in from another place, but there's a lot of work that's involved, even if all the objects come in. Sometimes there's more work because it's all paperwork.
So you would have to have a budget for those kinds of events, like you said, without having to find it from somewhere else.
Well, there is some budget left, but without the state money, it's not enough to pay us. Just this 22,000.
got two or three questions on the mic. One thing I'd like to ask you, you mentioned the Tibetan study you had there, and I happen to have a rescue from Nepal, and he wanted to know, and he asked me this, would there be any external pressure with the increase in the Confucius and the Chinese in the States to stop those types of exhibitions?
Well, I would hope not, but we did have to rearrange our schedule just a little bit one time. I can't say because I don't. There are Tibetan Buddhists in Lincoln. They may form a group that is wants to do something, but I can't say. But I'm always concerned.
Dr. Susan Closer also is in attendance to answer additional questions about the future of the lens we need her to come to the table as well.
I got two more quick questions. What's the total collection value there?
The total collection value that I just got the details this morning is $1,079,176.25.
Oh, that's how much is in the endowment?
I think it's 500,000.
Is there any chance to get some external funding for this particular national or even international?
Well, so far the funding, the outside funding we've gotten has been for particular shows, and that has been fairly.
Fairly regular, but for general support, no, I haven't found any. Okay, just to follow up on that funding issue also, there's decreased funding in the arts, but have you been involved in grant writing or trying to get funds to the Nebraska Arts Council or the National Endowment for the Arts or
yes.
National Endowment for the Humanities or any of those kinds of things?
Yes, we have gotten grants from all those groups and they have always been specific
to a program.
Specific to a show and program.
Which causes the operational costs.
That's right. Nebraska Arts Council does give some general funding, but for a number of reasons we didn't qualify for it, because I asked them about it.
Many museums and such have memberships and they sell, or essentially you have to pay a certain amount per year to retain your membership and then different levels of support. Do you have something like that?
No, we don't currently have a friends group. We had a group, a guild group, who were friends of John and Velma. And they have mostly, there's been an attrition rate there. And they were not able to attract a new group of supporters. So that we haven't been able to do that yet.
Wasn't there a near flood or something a few years ago?
There was a terrible flood. There was a fire in the garage. Three cars were on fire. I don't quite understand how that happened, but some people had stolen the metal caps off where you attach the fire hoses, and when they turned on the water, it all came rushing down the stairs. And Great Plains actually had more damage than we did, not to collection, but just to the galleries. So yes, we did have a terrible.
It shows, I think, the need to have some sort of pretty constant surveillance or maintenance of that sort.
And that happened on the weekend. Fortunately, I had a very good student who called me up, and I got over there as fast as I could, and then facilities did a very good job in bringing in the water picker-uppers.
Well, related question is, when you do open the museum for a show, if you're able to do that, there will be security considerations and so on. I mean, every museum has to have its own.
Yes, absolutely. There will be somebody there.
Will there be some ongoing person who knows what needs to be done when you're having a show?
Well, I don't know exactly how they plan to handle that, but there will be security.
Yes.
I can address some of these questions.
Dr. Banks, can you tell us approximately how many visitors come to the Lentz per year?
Yes, we took an average of the last 9 years, it was 3,173.
Thank you. And can you also share with us whether there are any revenue generating activities right now?
Not at this time.
Thanks.
Is there an admission for the visitors?
No, there's no admission. There's a suggested donation of $2. And we do get donations, but it's a small amount.
Yeah, and one more. Since I think a lot of students don't understand the concept of your museum, has there been any thought to actually taking some of your pieces and putting them into separate buildings around campus just to display items for a certain amount of time?
Yes.
Students would be exposed to those issues.
There has been talk about that.
Other questions for Dr. Banks? Thank you very much. Dr. Posner.
Letting me appear before you today. I just want to try to answer some of these questions. I'll say a couple of things first and then be happy to answer questions. First of all, I want to thank Barbara for her 16 years of service at the Lentz Center, and she will be missed there. I want to just, first of all, clear up a couple of things because I know that you've got some other letters and things from other people. So I'll just say a few things just outright. First of all, the collection's not being dispersed. It's not being deaccessioned. It will remain available to faculty and scholars to study, not just when there's an exhibit going on, but at all times, and I'll explain how we're planning on doing that in a moment. There will be opportunity for about 3, maybe 4 exhibits a year of up to about 4 weeks, and I'll explain the details of that as well. I will also point out that the word weeks somehow got deleted from this last draft of the document that you have, and it's 3 lines above the end of paragraph 7. It says, I think it says 4, and then there's a period. It should say 4 weeks. And so let me just talk for a minute about this document that you should all have, which is the Memorandum of Understanding between the UNL Great Plains Art Museum and the Office of the Chancellor. When the Chancellor decided to make this a budget reduction, I think he quite wisely decided to not just do it last year, which was the original plan, but to give us a year to think about a solution to the issue of to the fact that we have a very nice collection here, and we need to think very carefully about what we're going to do with it and how we're going to provide for its maintenance and its security. And so I spent a good part of the summer and last fall thinking about this and talking to various people. I met with the advisory board, which is sort of an ad hoc group, which is the current advisory board to the Lentz Center. I also then sent out an email to all the faculty who I thought might be interested in this kind of thing, and I got their names from a variety of people. And I had a meeting with a group of faculty and I think some administrators sometime in the fall to sort of tell them what we were doing and ask their advice. And we generated some very good ideas there. At one point, there was a possibility of the Confucius Center taking it on and running it, but that didn't sort of pan out. Eventually, I got a phone call from Jim Studedick at the Great Plains Museum, and he was very interested in some kind of partnership here, mostly because he has these wonderful little bronze of Remington statues that he's unable to show because of the way the space is in his display space in his museum, which is on the first floor of the Hewitt building, not on the bottom floor. And so he was very interested in using the lens space to show that. So we created this document. This document's been vetted by the Chancellor and the Foundation, which holds the lens, the private funds for the Lens Center. And basically, just to summarize it, he will be able to use the display cases in the Lens Center for his Remington statues and I guess anything else he wants to. In return, he's going to provide security. He's going to oversee the temperature control and all of that for the lens collection. He is also, by this agreement, under an obligation that if and when an exhibit it does come into the Lens Center of the Lens Center collection, that he will empty those display cases and allow for that to happen. And again, something like 16 weeks a year, something around that. And that's all detailed in here. Now, the missing piece here that we haven't finished yet, and we didn't want to get ahead of ourselves. But the Chancellor is going to appoint an advisory board to oversee the what happens to the collection and to advise the Chancellor on how to use these foundation funds. And the foundation funds do kick off somewhere between $20,000 and $25,000 a year. And most of that money can be used for, you know, exhibits or publications, lectures, very general sorts of things. There are a few smaller funds that are specific. I think there's one for publications. There's one for musical instruments. There's probably something else I'm not thinking of. But basically, there's $20,000 to $25,000 for exhibits. And so we are going to create an advisory board of interested faculty and administrators, maybe 8 to 12 people. And I've already sent out a solicitation for names, and I've already got some excellent names and some people volunteering. That committee would be a very active committee board, and it would be charged with taking proposals from faculty members who want to do an exhibit. It would work with Jim Stubendick and the Great Plains Center, so that when a faculty member wanted to come in or bring his class in and show some of the collection to a class on a private basis, that he would facilitate the entry and all that. Any money that's needed for these things, for security, for maybe getting somebody from the shelter to come over and help access the collection or whatever, that there is money in the foundation to pay for that. And so that's how that money would be used. And so what we're trying to do, and as to your question, Jeff, we have talked about taking some of the collection and putting it in some other places. Now, the Lens Center is not accredited, and so we don't have that problem with bringing it out to other buildings. Of course, we would want to make sure we had the right cases and the right temperature controls. But there are a lot of very good possibilities. For example, the new Kawasaki reading room in the Multicultural Center is a place where we might logically want to put some of the Japanese prints from the Lens Center at some time. And again, these decisions would be decisions of the Chancellor, but really advised by this advisory council. I just want to say the final thing I'll say, two things. One is that Barbara is currently overseeing a digitization of the whole collection. So, and I think we're aiming for July 1st to have the whole thing with pictures and online, or potentially to be put online with descriptions, and so it's searchable as well. An idea that came out in the last advisory board meeting that we held at the old advisory board was the idea to purchase, with the foundation money, a kiosk that we could put downstairs and always have it as maybe the entry to the Lens Center. There's a nice hallway there where we could have that collection. Anybody could go down there and look at the collection in the kiosk. So it would be online, but it would also be in this, we'd have a computer or something in this kiosk. And again, a way to keep the Lens Center kind of out there and available to scholars and to students. And finally, the number that Barbara just gave you for the appraisal, we're actually waiting for, we just had everything that has not yet been updated or appraised, had it appraised, and we're waiting for that report. So that number may change and go up substantially once we have our report, which we're expecting within the next month, I think.
So, are any other art museums on campus having their budgets change? Their property is challenged. I've heard Shelton's example, they go
up.
That's what I've heard.
With state funds? I haven't heard that. I don't think anyone's going up this year. I could be wrong. I haven't heard anything about that. We haven't finished with the budget cuts for this year. I don't project changes in the other museums that I know about right now, but that could happen. But I don't think the Sheldon's getting more state funds. I don't think.
I just have a question about the administration, the administrative change. The Blunt Center is under the Center for Great Plains Studies.
No.
And this is a separate entity.
The Lens Center is a separate entity that reports to the Chancellor's office. The Great Plains is under the research.
With the relationship with the College of Fine and Performing Arts. It's not an affiliate of the College of Fine.
No.
Yes.
It is.
It's an affiliate that reports to the Chancellor.
Yeah, I mean, it's an affiliate because it's an arts affiliate of the university.
Yeah. It's a little confusing.
There's no reporting to the college.
No, there's no reporting line.
So
these cuts are coming down through the dean of college if I report.
No, these are coming from the Chancellor. There was a tiny little bit of money that's for some reason funneled through Hicks-Lee. It was like $4,000.
There was a little money funneled through the Department of Arts.
I don't know the history of that. But okay. That will go away also because that was part of the state funds.
Questions?
The
National Center for Synagogues is what Dr. Banks has said, and that is that the events collection essentially stops. I mean, it exists, but it will never grow. It's simply going to be an asset of the university.
Well, I guess I would never say never. I mean, I think it's conceivable that somebody like the Lenses would come along and say, we want this open again, and we're going to give you some money. I mean, the $20,000 to $25,000 will not pay a director's salary. I think it's conceivable that somebody would want to kind of restart it on a daily basis the way it is.
Yes,
it will be available for study, and it will be available online, and it will be available for faculty or someone else who wants to come in and curate an exhibit.
Well, it will be largely archival, but quite frankly, given what happened with the State Museum in the last budget cuts and this, I can't see any donor looking at the University of Nebraska to donate any collection with this kind of history that's being built up. I mean, this may be true of any university, but when it strikes me there are ramifications to doing these things, and that it will certainly, as I say, I would worry a lot about the university ever having anything else donated to this kind of custodianship. And it may be that it has to be because the university our size and with our resources cannot fund such things, and then it may be appropriate that they go to other universities, but it's a sad situation.
Well, given what I know about the Sheldon, which I know, you know, pretty well, I don't think that this will have that effect on people who donate to the Sheldon, and we have a pretty good record there, but I don't know.
Prior to moving to the Hewitt Place, the collection was on display in Law Hall, and so there was always part of this collection on display that people could see. I don't know who oversaw it.
You were at Morrill.
I was at Morrill Hall. And Mrs. Lentz was the first director. But it seemed like this was progress to get their own museum space. And this is a worse step backwards than before getting that space, because at least when they were in Morrill Hall, the certain amount of the collection was always on permanent display. Now, that's not the case. Only somebody who comes up. I mean, I don't understand who's going to come up with the programming to do these four exhibits a year, because it's a huge amount of work. So, you know, I'm a little skeptical that there actually will be these four displays a year. And
well, you know,
again, most of the time it's going to be in the closet,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I mean,
and there'll be Remington, Bronze, and Zuma cases.
It's not a great situation. I'm not going to say that it is.
That's a misunderstanding.
Well, let me just tell you about one of the conversations that went on when I met with this larger group of faculty. First of all, I sensed a tremendous interest, actually, in using the collection. And there was discussion, for example, of the idea that the advisory board could take some of the foundation money and run a grant competition and say to somebody, you know, we'll give you $5,000 over the summer to develop an exhibit and then you can show it. So there are lots of creative ways that this advisory board will be able to use that money, and some of them, I would hope, would be getting to be programming. And the whole, the way in which that advisory board is going to be chosen is going to be based on people who have a genuine interest in programming. And that's why I said it's going to be a very active board. It's not just going to be sort of making sure, you know, no one's stealing the foundation money or something. That's not the idea here. The idea is to have a very active board. The current advisory board, which I said is ad hoc in the sense that it's not an advisory board. There actually is an advisory board described in the trust documents from the Lentises when they set up the foundation or the endowment. But that advisory board doesn't exist. This advisory board is, I think, just sort of interested people. It wasn't sort of chartered in any way. And they, I mean, I didn't even know they existed until last summer. They were not an active board. And so, you know, we're really looking for a different model for the board.
I understand, of course, that the Sheldon's reputation is devoted to American art, contemporary American art, but I wonder that if the Great Plains Museum is the appropriate one to take this over. I wonder if really it would be better to associate this art with the Sheldon. Was it only because of the Association of Contemporary Art?
No, that was discussed, and I had discussions of that with Daniel Veneziano, and it just didn't work out that they would take it.
Are there any questions for Dr. Posey? Are there other people who would like to speak to the issue of the Lentzen and propose reduction of the study? We are open to hearing any comments on any budget reduction matters at this time. Okay, is there anybody who would like to address any other budget reduction? Any other business we have at this point? Okay. So our hearing, our deliberations will be Monday afternoon. Okay. So unless there is any business, we are adjourned until Monday afternoon.
That is a closed session.
That is a closing, yes. The meeting is at 1:00 in the
Thank you.